Will you turn to Isaiah chapter 59? Isaiah 59. It's going to be our core scripture this morning. Isaiah 59. When you get there, go ahead and look up at me. I'll know you're there. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. It is the day that you have made, God. We just honor you, Father, and we glorify you. We ask you to be here this time and in this service, God, you be glorified. And I pray that you'd anoint your word, you'd anoint me, God, and I pray that you would cleanse our minds from unrighteousness. We stand before you in your righteousness alone, God. We stand before you based upon your blood that was shed for the remissions of sins, God. We can't come to you based upon any other fact or any other term, God. We come based upon what you've done for us. And God, I ask you today that you would cleanse our minds in order to fill them with truth. God, that when we hear your truth, you would enlighten us, you'd expand the confines of our mind in order to pack more truth in and make us more like your Son, Jesus. God, I ask it in your name. Amen. Isaiah 59, you'll go down to verse 13. This is called, Truth is Fallen in the Streets. Truth has fallen in the streets. Isaiah 59:13 says, in transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice stands afar off. For truth has fallen in the streets, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil makes himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garment of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. In verse 18, according to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. And the enemy shall come in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Look at verse 14. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice stands afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. I was thinking about this message for the last few weeks. This came about because of current events a little bit. I was watching the news. I was listening to what was happening on the news and watching on TV, listening on the radio. And, you know, I started thinking about the persecution around the world. I mean, people that are being persecuted for truth. And I started thinking about our nation. When I think about our nation, there's always one verse that comes to my mind, and it's, truth has fallen in the streets. In America, truth has fallen in the streets. Another word for the gospel of Jesus Christ is truth. When you read in the New Testament, the apostles and the epistles, the prophets, they'll refer to the gospel as truth. Let you walk in the truth. We preached unto you the truth. They don't often use the word gospel. It's understood that the truth is the gospel. And it's referred to as such. In 2 Corinthians, it says, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. You don't believe me, so I'm telling you what it says. I am therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth. Who will have all men to be saved? God will have all men to be saved and come to Him in the knowledge of the truth. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned over to fables. The common theme is the truth. The message called truth is fallen in the streets. Over the past few weeks, I have been moved. It's touched me. You know, I feel like a lot of times I'm engrossed in tragedy. I'm engrossed in death. I'm engrossed in, you know, really hard situations. But watching on the news in Syria and hearing about it, it has bothered me. It's moved me. It's hurt my heart to see the Christians crucified, men and women beheaded for being Christians, kids cut in half, families burned alive just because they're Christians, standing for the truth. Thousands of miles away from where we are, and people are standing for the truth. They're being killed for what they know to be truth. You know, it's amazing how our country will twist it and they'll make it about a people group. They'll make it about journalists. They'll make it about Americans. Oh, there was an American over there. But when you start reading and studying when all this started and how it all started, it was about Christians. It was about the ISIS killing Christians. I'm going to crucify and slaughter Christians. It's not just about Americans. It was about Christians. Dying for truth. In that death, there is truth. There's no higher cause or higher reason to die than for truth, right? For the truth. The truth. The capital T truth. The truth that you and I know to be truth. It says in Mark 8, it says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same will save it." The same will save it. Who gives his life for the truth will save it. The real battle that they're fighting, the real battle, the sacrificial battle in a Christian's life is for truth. It's for truth. It will be for truth. It was for truth in the beginning, and it will be truth in the end. When I started thinking about our country, all I could think about was this verse, was 59:14. The truth has fallen in the streets and equity cannot enter. Truth has fallen in the streets. It's in the streets. In our country, in America, it's disregarded. It's treated as rubbish. What's true? There's nowhere on the planet. I was thinking about this when we went to Scotland. How I looked at people and we talked to people and how their society seems so far gone. You know, me and Paul would joke how you couldn't tell the guys from the girls with their stinking skinny jeans. You know, how far gone a society is. How you couldn't talk to a teenager without their hair being dyed some color that hurts your eyes. And that's how it was. And it was, you look at them, it's so far gone. It's so dilapidated. There's no truth. What's the standard of truth? And I was thinking about Scotland, and I was thinking about that nation, how old it is, and I started thinking about our nation, how young it is, how young the USA is, but how far gone we are. And the short time we've had, there's no nation in the world that is so rapidly casting off truth for the sake of popularity and for the sake of being accepted. This culture, this society, this country we live in, just casts off truth like a cloak because it's cool. It's cool to cast off truth and just accept all things and have tolerance and coexist. But it's an oxymoron. Truth is something that's absolute. There's only one truth. How can you cast it off? You can't do that. Truth is truth. There can't be more than one truth. There can't be two. There can't be three. It's absolute. There's a catchphrase in our society for casting off truth. You want to hear what it is? Political correctness. That's a catchphrase for throwing truth in the gutter, for throwing truth in the street. The You have to not offend people. Because the truth will offend people, so you have to water it down and dilute it. And because our society doesn't operate on this or that, our society doesn't operate on good and evil, our society doesn't operate on black and white, it doesn't operate that way. So we wade into this sea of gray tolerance, seeking to coexist. And there's no standard of truth. Because it's fallen in the street. I don't even understand what that term means, political correctness. Has there ever been a politician that was correct? You know, I don't understand how you have political correctness. What does being correct have anything to do with politics? Anyway, sorry, that was a side note. Forgive me. Here's one for you that you hear every day. We hear this every day on the radio, and it drives me nuts. And for the sake of political correctness, they talk about radical Islam. Radical Islam. Radical Islam. What in the world does that mean? Because I've read parts of the Quran, and all Islam is radical because it wants to kill you and me. I don't understand what parts aren't radical. It's like if I was to say, you're a murderous murderer. You're a hateful hater. It doesn't make any sense to qualify Islam by calling it radical. But you see what our nation does and our society does? It has to qualify every statement to try to not offend somebody. Because we want to put the truth and sweep the truth under the carpet or under the rug. And we got to sweep truth into the gutter because the truth will offend somebody. So we have to qualify our statements. We have to be politically correct. We have to be tolerant. Show me in this Bible where truth is tolerant of how you feel. Did you hear what I said? What truth in here is tolerant of your emotions? Truth just is. Truth just is. And this is what I said to the other church. It doesn't even matter what package it comes in. It doesn't matter how you wrap it or how you present it. Paul was way more attractive than me when he's preaching the gospel. It doesn't matter how you present it. You know, the 13-year-old girls love to hear Paul. It doesn't matter how you wrap truth. It's still truth. It's still truth, is it not? That's my point. Truth is truth. And people try to disregard truth because of how it's presented. They try to say it's not truth because how it's presented to somebody. Just because somebody you don't like comes and gives you truth doesn't mean it's not truth. Doesn't mean it can't make you free. Our country qualifies statements. It tries to belittle truth. But we're without excuse. Islam's a cult. It's a cult. It seeks to cover the world in another Hitler genocide. That's the end goal of Islam. Kill everybody that doesn't convert. Kill every people group that doesn't convert. Kill every religion that doesn't convert. That's what it is. But yet, we don't want to offend those people. Let's not offend them by saying what's true. My point for saying that is as Christians, we can't compromise the truth. You can't compromise the gospel. You can't compromise God's working in your life, the fact that Christ is in your heart. That truth is not able to be compromised. The gospel can't be compromised at your workplace, can't be compromised in your heart, can't be compromised at school, can't be compromised in relationships. It's still the truth. It still makes people free. No matter how it's presented or packaged or wrapped up or portrayed to somebody, the truth still has power. The point I'm trying to make is there's no surprise that the world has gone off this way and the world throws truth in the street. And you have radical belief systems that are just nuts and that want to kill people, but they don't want to offend them with the truth. In the world, that's to be accepted. It's to be expected. Sinners sin, do they not? But the sad state is the church. Church. The church where truth has been thrown in the streets, where truth has fallen, where there's no justice, where there's no judgment, where there's no right dividing of God's word. The church. I was laying in bed with my wife and she was showing me this video, this YouTube video of somebody real well known. Just making an outlandish claim in a church. It's hysterical. If you get with me later, I'll tell you what it is. But because you need to see it. It's the biggest church in the world, in the U.S., you know, and they're making this statement, and it's just crazy. It's nuts what they're saying. And I was looking at it going, where's your standard? Where's your rule? Where's your rule stick of truth? How do you weigh truth? Where's the balance? How do you discriminate between the holy and profane if not this book? As a Christian, this is your standard, right? And if you don't live by the standard, want to hear what's in it, then you don't live on the rock. If you stand on how you feel, or your experiences, what other people have told you, you will not stand. You can't stand. Because the only way to stand, the plan that God has made, is to stand upon the truth and the rock of the Word. We have, in the church, we've forgotten that it says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It'll make you free. It'll make people free. The truth is what makes people free. Not programs, not how you present the truth necessarily. Not what or why or how. It's the truth itself. The gospel, its pure form that makes people free, that shall set you free. Even Christians that are bound up, Christians that are struggling, it's the truth that will set you free and make you free. Every few months, we read about another church or a denomination that's chosen to accept homosexuality. Another church that has ordained another gay pastor. And I see it on the news, I read about it, and I'm like, seriously? Really? This isn't one of those concepts that you can debate both sides in Scripture. It's not one of those concepts like, I have friends that lean more toward being Calvinistic, and I lean the other way. And I have friends that I love to, we like to debate and stick each other, you know? We like to go back and forth with Scripture, and it's healthy and it's fun. And we sharpen each other with Scripture. It doesn't make us any less friends. It doesn't change our salvation. It doesn't change our passion and love for Christ. But those are things we can talk about. Things that you can debate. This is not a subject that's open for debate. You can't go to the Word and read the truth and disregard truth so that you can have something in your life or in your church that pacifies the masses. What is the standard if not God's Word? And that's one of the things that the E-team does. And you know, when you're out preaching or talking with people, what is your standard of living? What's the basis? What's your foundation? Why do you do what you do? What's your purpose? If not Christ and the truth of His Word, then it's nothing. It's you. It's you and your selfish life. What's the ruler by which to measure if not truth? You know what? My Bible says, do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Turn to 1 Corinthians 6:9. You think I'm making it up. Turn there. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Paul says, do not be deceived. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Do not be deceived. And then he says, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, abusers, nor homosexuals, or thieves, or covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Gee, I wonder why the Holy Spirit said don't be deceived in there. I wonder why. Because the whole church walks around like a blind man in a dark room trying to get out. Because they don't go to the truth. I will challenge you right now. Any problem, any issue you have in your life, this book has an answer for you. A clear answer. Not ambiguous, not general, not a concept. It has an answer for you. That's the power of being a Christian. It's a power of being grafted in to that family. The family where truth is not something that we philosophize about, but it's somebody we worship. Somebody who saved us. Somebody who gave His life for us. He's truth. In Romans, the first chapter, it talks about how God gives him up to a reprobate mind because they want a lie. They want falsehood. They want sin. They don't want truth. So He gives them over to that. Homosexuality. You don't want truth, so you can live in this. The word sodomy comes from Sodom. Don't want truth. It's sad that the church defiles itself. Have you ever thought about, I was thinking about this when I was writing this, have you ever thought about the repercussions and what homosexuality at its core is really saying and what its goal is? It defiles the truth of God's creation and mocks the way God created mankind to procreate and create a people that will worship and fellowship with Him. You see what I'm saying? It wants to destroy the design that God made for a people to multiply so that they can worship Him. It wants to stop it and stagnate the fact that He wants a people to worship Him. In the very beginning of the Bible, He tells them to be fruitful and multiply. Why? Because God wants a people to worship Him and honor Him. Not robots, but a people that will walk in truth. Nobody would tell you that about homosexuality, but that's what it is. It attacks the nature and the design of Almighty God. And it calls Him stupid for making me this way. Stupid for making me wrong. You have a design flaw in me. How dare you? Almighty God knows exactly what He did. He formed you in your mother's womb. He knew who you were supposed to be. You know why I know? Listen to why I know. For all things were created in Him. The things in the heavens and the things on the earth. The visible and the invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. He is the firstborn of the dead, that He may be preeminent in all things. He doesn't make mistakes. I recently went to my grandmother's funeral. And my uncle, he loves the Lord, and he did the eulogy. And one thing he emphasized is, he said, God is just. God is holy. God is righteous. God is pure. God doesn't make mistakes. He knows exactly how to handle the person that passes. You don't die, and then he goes, whoa, wait a second. He's holy, and He's just, and He's righteous. He doesn't make wrong decisions. He's not going to misplace your soul, misplace your spirit. He's holy and He's just. When you stand against falsehood and false teaching, because truth is something that has to be rooted into your life as a Christian. It has to be your foundation. There's times that are coming very soon, and you have to have truth in your heart. You have to know what you believe and why. I don't know why I felt like the Lord was impressing me so deeply, but there's times coming very soon where you're going to have to know what the truth is, and you're going to have to know why you believe it. Because every sort of falsehood and deception and perversion of the Word is going to be so plentiful in this nation. The gospel is so plentiful in this nation that it's so perverted. It's not truth anymore. It's been diluted and perverted into something else. And when you stand for falsehood and false teaching, you're not going to be persecuted for being a loving Christian. People aren't going to persecute you and say, let's persecute that person, that guy or girl, because they're a Christian. They're going to lie about you. You know what they're going to do? You're going to be hurt and persecuted not because you're a Christian. You're going to be hurt and persecuted because you're hateful. You're intolerant. You're a bigot. You're treasonous. You're an anarchist. You're closed-minded. you're not going to give us the gratification of persecuting you for being a Christian. They're going to make up all sorts of lies about you, call you all kinds of names, accuse you of the most vile crimes and sins known to man. That's what's going to happen. And you're going to go, oh God, I didn't do it. That's not who I am. That's who everybody thinks I am. You have to stand on what's true. That's where you have to stand on the truth. When you go through a trial, I was talking to someone, when you go through a trial or a hardship, you're not in the midst of that with angels singing all around you. And this touched by an angel light illuminating you. And you're almost hovering because you know you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake. That is not how hardship happens. You are in the pit of despair. And you don't know why or how you're going to get out or why you're there. And you're struggling. God, what is going on in my life? Why did you, quote, allow this to happen to me? That's what happens in a person's life. And if you're not rooted and grounded in truth, you can't flip through this and go, okay, he's with me. This is common. This has happened to other guys and gals. I'm not alone. That's truth. That's what you stand on. You can't stand on your emotions. You can't stand on what somebody else told you. You can't stand on somebody else's relationship with truth and relationship with Christ. It's yours. Because the persecution in the times of hardship and struggle is going to come to you alone. It's going to come to you. And it's your relationship. Is truth thrown in the streets? Is truth falling in the streets in your life or my life or a church's life? Or is it honored? Is it lifted high? Is it in a place where it's exalted? And it's put above what we think and what we feel. Truth is precious. The battle will be for truth. How did the battle start? Creation. In creation, when did the first battle start? I'll show you. Hath God said? Hath God really said, Eve? That was when the battle started for truth. In the garden. Hath God said? What's the truth? Oh, I'll give you a mixture, a version of the truth. The battle of truth started there. And what does it say in Revelation? When the dragon comes, there's going to be a flood of words. There's going to be a flood in the last days. Flood of deception. There will be a great falling away. What does it say in the last days? There will be a great falling away. Why would Christians fall away other than truth? They're deceived and they believe a lie. It started with truth and it will end with truth. And if we're not a people of truth, a people that relish truth, that pick it up and dust it off and take it out of the gutter and cherish it in your life, then you can't stand. And this came about when I was thinking, I was going, God, do I really relish what's true? Am I really ready to present what's true to people that I know or people I work with? Am I ashamed of the truth? Do I try to dilute it? Do I try to change it so it's easier to give to people or so it meets some sort of need for them other than the need that it's powerful and it can change? This is another thing that just boggles my mind is when you bring scripture or truth to people, to Christians namely, and it's almost like the scripture or the truth offends them. Like it bothers them. Which is absolutely ironic. You come to a believer, you give him a scripture that's struggling, and it's like you punched him in the face. How dare you? Or they love to say, you can't judge me. And you're like, I'm not the author. I didn't write it. Why are you offended at me? I didn't do anything. And that's the culture and the society we live in. You present truth, and because it's not what they want to hear, they get upset or offended. And this should always be what we want to hear. This should always be what you and I want to hear. Because this is what we need to hear. The truth of God's word. How precious God's word is. Think about how your philosophy, your opinion isn't going to save you. Truth makes people free. I was thinking about churches, how the teaching, the lack of truth in teaching at other churches. Or even the fact that they don't teach on certain subjects. And I started thinking about subjects, maybe even subjects that are controversial. And I ponder teachings about divorce, teachings about forgiveness, our place and purpose in the body of Christ and in the church, men's roles, women's roles, fathers, mothers, husbands, wives, child rearing, tithing, the importance of covenant, the truths of God's word that churches gloss over because somebody's going to get offended. Somebody's going to get offended. We can't talk about that. The Bible talks about it. Why does this book offend us? Why does it offend people? Why do we take the truth and we throw it in the street? We let it fall in the street. Treat it like rubbish. When it is the mainstay, it's the mast, it's the rock, it's what we believe in, it's what brought truth into our life. It's how we weigh things, it's how we balance the holy from the profane. But yet people pretend to be Christians, pretend to want Christ and walk with Christ, but they don't want the Bible. They don't want the Christ of the Bible. I would say that probably sums up our country. Everybody loves church, but they don't love the Bible. I'm not being harsh. I'm being real. Now ask yourself, how much truth from the Word do you know about specific topics? Specific topics. How you're supposed to treat others. Relationships. Covenants. Marriage. Discipline. Church discipline. Divorce, money matters, tithing. These are all subjects that are covered in length in the Bible. In length. It lays it out for us. Why we believe it. What's best. Why it should be that way. And these are things that bother people. And I'll tell you why people get offended. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why it bothers them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, judgment has turned away backwards. Justice stands afar off, for truth has fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. How many times does somebody you talk to, somebody you know, interpret truth by how they feel? You present them with an absolute. I just don't feel that way about that. Do you have a bad breakfast? What do you mean you don't feel that way about that? How is it based upon how you feel? If you jump off a cliff, gravity will bring you to the bottom and you'll splash on the ground and die. I just don't know how I feel about that. I don't know if I really believe that. You know how many times we heard that in Scotland? I just don't believe that. Okay? What do you believe? So I can pick it apart and rip it to pieces. What do you believe? And why do you believe that? Well, let me show you. You have no foundation for any of your beliefs. You believe based upon whether you're having a good day or a bad day. Your feelings. And that's not based on what we believe. No matter how we're feeling or what we're going through or what we're enduring, the truth doesn't change. Truth stays the same. It's an absolute. The truth of God's word will never pass away. It says not one jot or tittle will pass away. It says exalts the word above his name. It says the whole earth shall pass away, but his word will never pass away. Jesus will be called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the truth. That's the word. It's the truth. So it was in the beginning, and we read that he was the firstborn from the dead, who is the beginning. He said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. The truth always will be. You and Jesus, you on Jesus' side is the majority. You stand with him in the truth, you're the majority. It's not fun to be alone. I get it. It's not fun to not be liked. ostracized, to be called a nerd or weird. You know? It's not fun for most of your family to not invite you to things because they know you're that Christian. You don't believe like we believe. But it's important for you to know the truth, for you to live in the truth. Because I do believe we're in the last days. I do believe we're in the last days. You can't watch what's happening in the Middle East and not see that it is rapidly speeding up. That the world is beginning to implode under the weight of its own sin. And I don't think you could convince me that this earth, this world, can sustain another 20 and 30 years of this wickedness, of the hate, and of the war. I don't see how the Lord could tarry. And then we need to be people of the truth. Because there's a roaring battle for the truth. And the voices that are for the truth, for the gospel, it seems like they keep getting quieter, keep getting more distant. Worst of all, it seems like they keep getting more perverted. I was reading about a big scandal of a huge pastor a couple weeks ago, a so-called pastor. He's got a huge church, you know, and there's a big scandal about him. And me and my wife had discussed him in the past, and I said, and we both told each other, just watch. The house of cards will come crumbling down. Just watch. The guy is a tyrant, and you'll see. Sure enough, it all falls apart because it's not based upon truth. It's based on sensationalism and fun and programs and the masses and games. And I'll tell you, you can't have fellowship without truth. There's no fellowship without truth. You can hang out with people. There's no fellowship and communion if you're not based upon truth and upon the Word. It hit me like a ton of bricks a couple, 2-3 years ago when Dave Wilkerson died. It really bothered me. I remember where I was. I was at work. It was late at night. I was standing by my car and a buddy called me that I hadn't talked to, that lived in Colorado. I answered the phone. He said, "Hey man, I just want to let you know Dave Wilkerson died today." And all I remember thinking was, it was like losing one of my own loved ones. And he was a voice crying in the wilderness. He was one of the last voices crying in the wilderness and proclaiming truth. He proclaimed truth without compromise. Truth despite what it cost him. Truth despite what people thought of him. How people hated him. He still loved the truth, and he was that prophet of our age. He never called himself a prophet. He hated when people called him a prophet, but sorry, buddy, that's what you were. You were a prophet, so that's the way it is. And I remember hurting because I was like, Lord, the world still needs that. We still have to have that voice. We still have to have a voice that proclaims the truth. It's beginning to end. This world is starting to end. It's going to come to a conclusion, and the Word is anointed. The worldly people will continue to be smothered in more falsehood and humanistic foolishness. And you and I will continue to look more bizarre. You and I will look more outlandish because they'll be more subdued to a broken system. But we have to be a contrast. Turn to John 14. John 14. We have to be a contrast to this society. If you're flowing with it, if you're going with it, if your worldview doesn't contrast with that of the people around you, that standard of truth is not there. You can't live as a chameleon to your surroundings. You're going to look different. The Bible calls us a peculiar people. John 14, verse 6, it says, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. You can't come to the Father outside the gate of truth. Pilgrim's Progress, you have people that try to jump in the way, try to jump into the path, try to come over the hedges and get in the path. It doesn't work that way. I challenge you as I had to challenge myself. As I had to challenge myself that the truth is, the truth is synonymous with Jesus Christ. They're one and the same. The truth is synonymous with the gospel. The gospel is truth. They're the same. You talk about the truth, that's the gospel. Jesus called himself the truth. There is no other truth. There's no other path to take. Who is truth? What is truth? Why is truth? These are things that you have to know. It's not a game we play. I felt really impressed to say that there is a time coming soon in this country where you will have to take a stand for what's true. You and you alone will have to stand for what's true. I can see the writing on the wall at work. I can see it coming. I can see the line in the sand being drawn even now. Me and a buddy at work that's a believer, we talk about it. There's going to come a time very soon where our faith is going to be challenged. They're going to ask us to compromise. They're putting things in place for as we speak. And we were talking about going, we're going to have to say it. We're going to have to stand up. When I'm confronted with it, I'm going to tell them to their face. I'm going to say it proudly. And I can see that happening in our nation. It's all evolving to expose those crazy Christians. Because they want you to be exposed for what you are. It's fine. Because you can't hide what you are. You can't hide the truth. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. But it will make them free. It makes them free. You don't have to make the gospel palatable to people. It has power despite you. It's anointed despite you. The Bible is our measuring of truth, not our opinions or experiences. Not Osteen, not Oprah, and not Dr. Oz. They do not dictate what is true. The Bible dictates what's true. You have a question? You go to the Word. The Word dictates what's true. Truth is just not a page in your Bible. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. For their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Truth isn't just what we see on this. Truth is a person. Truth embodied. You want to see what truth really looks like? Turn to Revelation chapter 1. I'll show you what truth will look like in the end days. In Revelation chapter 1. Revelation 1:12, it says, and I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and being turned, I saw seven gold candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet were like a fine brass, as they burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shining in all its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I'm the first and the last. I'm he that lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. That's what truth will look like when it comes back. There will be none that say, I just don't believe that, when they see the mighty warrior return, the warrior king, just ready to execute wrath. That's truth. Truth has no challenger. You know, it's a sad state of the church that so many truths have fallen in the street, and that the way we determine what is true isn't even necessarily by the Bible. Committees, votes, people's opinions. That's what becomes what's true now. And so now it's almost at the point where when you present this, it's foreign. It's almost foreign when you present this as the truth to other so-called Christians. And I want my church, I want my brothers and sisters, I want the people I fellowship with and I love to be in that remnant that will stand for the truth. Because it won't be large. It says the majority will fall away. Most will. Most will just fall for a lie, will be deceived. There will be only a small remnant that will stand on the truth. And we have to decide that truth is important to us. Because there's going to come a fight for what's true.